This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
I'm Sarah, I'm for listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number 1128. And today we'll be hearing part two of a talk given by Dr. Sundar Iyer on the topic of size love of a thousand mothers. So before we hear the final part, let's have a Ganesh bhajan, and here's one for you.
Pahi Prabhu Mam. And I say that because recently I had a very heart-to-heart discussion with a group of devotees who said, we have chosen to feed 100,000 people. I said, how are you going to manage it? They said, we are raising funds. I said, but that Swami doesn't want you to raise funds. You never raise funds in Swami's name. You never solicit anything. No, but we want to do such a big project. How else can we otherwise do it? I said, don't do it. Now it's easy for me to advise. But that time, I should have not have done the third ring because I saw Swami sending word, stop. But I had decided I have to do it. And so I told these boys, please hold. The first two boys were holding the first ring. Sundar, they said, Sundar, stop it. We can't hold it. It's very hot, very hot. I said, 2 minutes, man. Give it 2 minutes. I ran back, took my run. I ran towards the three rings. They were all so much in flame. I just could barely see it. So now I'm just running blindly into that. I took the leap and there were three rings. I jumped. My foot hit the first ring. I thought I had cleared. My foot hit the first ring. The boys just needed an excuse to let go. They let go. The first two boys let go. The other boys let go. Everybody let go. I landed on the ground with all the three rings fully lit up on my body. All of this is happening very fast. I'm on the ground. I look up and I just realized I'm completely covered with smoke and flames, and I look up, there is one hand held my hand and pulled me out. Guess who it was? None other than Swami himself. There were hundreds of devotees just 10 feet away from me. There were devotees. They were all sitting in the sands. I was running from there. Swami was up in the jhula. How did he manage to be there, right there, at the right time, at the right moment? He pulled me out and then he says, Bangaru, Bangaru, Nenunan, Bangaru, I am here, I am here. And he started dusting all the flames that were catching on my clothes. He was dusting it himself. And then I felt so embarrassed, so ashamed. I fell at Swami's feet. And then Swami walked back. But if we take that one moment, everybody, Sai's devotees were there. They must have done projects of seva. Seva projects, serving Swami, selfless service, all of that which we all do, right? We wear those labels and we want to be that, serving Swami, and we do all of that. When the call comes, when the moment comes, are we there or at the right time at the moment? Is love become our nature? Is to serve, has it become our secondary nature? Perhaps, perhaps not. That each one of us has to ask. The only person who acted at that moment was Sai. Why? Because his nature was to love. And at what cost did he come towards me? He was wearing silk robes himself. Without a second thought, he sent word. He knew that this crazy boy is going to come and do something crazy. He knew something bad is going to happen. He could have told all the boys to go. He didn't. In fact, the jhula was going slowly. Boys were pushing gently, you know, just swinging Swami. He jumped out of the jhula, pulled up his robe and ran towards me. There was no time to tell anyone. He came to me and pulled me out exactly at the right time. Many things happened. The next day, Swami came out and said, where is that fire boy? So for a long time after that, he called me the fire boy. And of course, he was more happy about yoga on the rope. And he was so thrilled. He said, Pillalku nepichidrava, start teaching the boys. Not on the rope, but yoga in general. That door, Swami called me, where's the father? Fire boy. I went to him. Swami said, what is your name? Where are you from? And suddenly that door opened. A joy crept into my heart. I had not still found my guru, but that joy, that connection was made. And I had to literally pass through fire, if you will, to get to that. But that day I learned what he meant when he truly said, I have a love of 1,000 mothers. I don't think my mother would have done that. She would have called out to Murugan or Shiva. She would have cried and wailed. She may or may not have jumped. I don't know. But here was somebody whom I didn't even know personally. And he put everything that he had at risk to come and pull me out of those flames. That is love. Where do we draw the line when we go out to serve? Where do we draw the line when we decide to love somebody outside our family? Where do we draw the line? We don't know that, right? For him, there was no boundary to that love. There was nothing that stopped him. When he decided to give, he would go all out to give. And he was there in the 15 years that followed, that I stayed, I saw Swami giving, pushing the envelopes always to the limit, giving the very best at all times. That was his nature. His nature was to love, and that love manifested as complete, selfless, unconditional giving. Nothing more, nothing less. If there is one word I can surmise Swami's life, other than love, it is giving. Giving. He wanted to give, always give. We wanted to get. We went there to get darshan. We went there to get interviews. We went there to get love. I was there searching for my guru. We are going there to get and get and get. He came to give. Many, many years later, I always remember this one beautiful incident. I was sitting and pressing Swami's feet in his room. Swami was reading letters. And that particular evening, he didn't speak at all. He simply seemed to be absorbed in letters and in his own thoughts. So my friend and I, we are pressing each one foot. We are pressing and looking at each other because Swami is holding the letter. We are sitting behind. We are looking at each other and doing what happened. Good mood, bad mood, we don't know. But complete silence. Occasionally, Swami will fold the letter and drop his head back on the chair as if he's lost, thinking something. Then he'll heave a sigh and again come back, open the letter and read. By the way, that was his pastime. You and I have flat screen TVs now. We had not flat screen, but we have other 25-inch TVs, 21-inch TVs. We had so many things to entertain us. Swami's entertainment was reading letters and staring at a wall that had no pictures. Living in a room that was barely 10 feet by 12 feet, one single straight back chair, one ceiling fan, 100-watt bulb up there in that room. His entertainment was reading letters. And that evening, he was completely absorbed. 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening, not a word was spoken. And then suddenly, almost as if on clock, he looked up at this 9 o'clock. He decided to get up to go to his bedroom. And we kind of knelt. And we were expecting Swami to say, Cheskondi, take namaskar before he would retire and we would get the last namaskar for that evening. But Swami seemed to be so lost in his thought. And he was talking to himself. And I want to share this with you because that time I saw the most beautiful human aspect of Swami. We read about in the Bible when Jesus was crucified. He cried to God, "Why me?" Right? Why me? Why have you forsaken me? So there was a human element. Every master, every teacher, Rama had the human element. Krishna had it. There's a very beautiful human element that I saw in Swami, and to me that makes him more divine. And this was one of those very poignant evenings I will never ever forget because it changed my approach to Swami. What was Swami mumbling to himself? Literally talking to himself. He was saying, Intamandi letter chadvayanu. I read so many letters. Every letter had one desire or the other. Puchukotam, getting. People who didn't have, was not getting married, they wanted marriage. People who are married are having marriage problems. People who don't have kids want kids. People who have kids problems. People want jobs, people want this. Anta korikulu, korikulu, korikulu. Cravings, I mean like wantings. And then he said, Okka letter kuda thank you ani raledu. There was not a single letter that said thank you. ఏమో, he's talking to himself. Remember, he is not talking. We are just leaning to listen to what a Swami is mumbling, and I got these words. He said, "Yemo, na plane ochindi. My plane has come. I am calling everybody into my plane. Kani meer andaru bayata kuchoni bhajanalu chestunaru, poojalu chestunaru, projectlu chestunaru, na plane lo evaru raru. You all are sitting there, you are doing bhajans and pujas and projects and this and that. Nobody is coming in my plane. I am saying, come into my plane." ఎల్లేటప్పుడు ఐదు మంది దొరుకుతారో ఏమో. ఈజ్ టాకింగ్ టు హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. వెన్ ఐ లీవ్, విల్ ఐ ఈవెన్ గెట్ ఫైవ్ పీపుల్ ఆన్ మై ప్లేన్? అండ్ యట్ వీ వర్ క్రాలింగ్. వై? బికాస్ వీ వాంటెడ్ అవర్ నమస్కార్. హీ పాజ్డ్, లాస్ట్ టు హిమ్సెల్ఫ్, బట్ వీ టచ్డ్ హిస్ ఫీట్. హీ వెంట్ అండ్ షట్ ద డోర్. అండ్ దెన్ వీ డిస్కస్, దిస్ బాయ్ అండ్ ఐ డిస్కస్ వాట్ ఆర్ స్వామి సేయింగ్. అండ్ దెన్ ఇట్ బికేమ్ క్లియర్ టు అస్, దిస్ ఇస్ వాట్ స్వామి వాజ్ సేయింగ్. అండ్ at that moment we felt that here was one individual lonely, alone rather, I shouldn't say lonely, alone in this mission of giving and serving. He was alone. We were all devotees with conditions attached. We were all Duryodhanas who went to Krishna because he has powers in him. Give me your army, give me the healing, give me, bless my family. If I were to tell you today that Sai Baba has nothing, you worship him, you keep your picture, but nothing will come out of that. You might say, then what is the point in keeping his picture? I might as well keep somebody else whom I can do puja and get some transactions done. But wasn't that Arjuna's, what did Arjuna tell Krishna in Mahabharata? He said, Krishna, you be my sad, that is all I want. Krishna said, I will not help you. I will not raise even a little finger to help you. And Arjuna said, all I want is to you, is for you to be by my side. I will fight my war. Just be by my side. And he was grateful that Krishna was just present in his life. Can we be grateful for Swami just being there in our lives without seeking anything from him? In fact, seeking an opportunity to give him thanks, to say thank you for being there, thank you for that inspiration, thank you for the lessons, thank you for the teaching, thank you for giving us an opportunity to give to the world. Can we find opportunities to say thanks? That was the love I got to see in Swami, and that is a love that inspires every day of my life. My dear sisters and brothers, there are so many such instances where I saw the most beautiful human aspect of Swami on the one side, on the other side, the mighty omnipotent power of Swami. When my father passed away in Bhopal, eventually my whole family came to Puttaparthi. My father was handling the central trust accounts. He spent his entire life. He was so inspired by Swami and the devotees around Swami that his only desire was to die in Puttaparthi and reach Swami. But as fate would have it, he went to Bhopal for summer and he passed away there in 1992. And my only question to Swami was, why wasn't that simple wish granted to my father? All he wanted was to die in Puttaparthi. Why did he have to go to some godforsaken place in Bhopal to visit my sister and so on? He got a heart attack there, he passed away. I went, I performed the final rites, I came back. I didn't write to Swami about it because I was kind of upset with Swami, only because why didn't you give my father that desire? Because by then I knew Swami could do anything he wanted. I came back. This was in April, so I came back in May, and Swami had returned back from Kodaikanal, and he came to me, he stood in front of me, I took namaskar, and then he looked at me and said, Pillalu chepparaa meeku, pillaru chepparaa neeku, he said, have the boys told you? I looked at him and said, what will the boys tell me, which boys have to tell me what? Undu undu, vastanu, he said, wait, I'll come. And he goes out for Vrindavan to the darshan. I'm waiting inside. What is this boys have to tell? I mean, I'm already down because my father just passed away 2 or 3 weeks ago. I come to Swami. Of course, I was very grateful. He gave me namaskar and gave that compassionate look and all. But then he got excited and said, Pillalu Chepparaa, you know, and walked away. So as I was thinking, one boy comes up to me, an MBA boy. He comes up and says, "Brother Sundar, sorry to hear about your dad." I said, "Thank you." He says, "When did your father pass away?" I said, April 18th. Why? He said, "No, just wanted to know what time did he pass away." I said, "Why are you so curious?" My father passed away at 3:30, 3:45 in the afternoon or so. And then I asked him, "Why are you asking?" He said, "We opened his diary because he was making notes." And he showed me April 19th, afternoon 3:45. Swami was talking to them in Kodaikanal, thousands of miles away from where this happened. And Swami stopped at around 3:45. He paused and looked up in the air. Then he asked the boys, "How many of you know Sundar Iyer?" And they all raised their hands because I was teaching at the college. He said, "His father, Dandapani, has reached my feet." And when Swami came back from Darshan, he called me inside. I went to Trai Brindavan. The devotees were in the inner room. Swami came to where the jhula is and where the boys sit, a big hall. But that hall was empty and I was there. And this was the vision I saw of the mighty, omnipotent Guru. I showed you a small glimpse of that human part of Swami. Here was the mighty, omnipotent Guru. The sight I can never forget because he was sitting on the jhula alone and he was using his feet and he was going back and forth, swinging. And as I entered, he pointed, said, "Stand there." And I just stood about 30 feet away from Swami. And loudly is asking me, "Oh, so you're angry with Swami? You're angry with Swami for what? Because your father died somewhere else? Adi body ekkadana povachu. Let the body go anytime, anywhere. But I have given him my feet." And he lifted his feet as he was swinging. Na padalichaniku ayinki. I say, "I gave him my feet." "Enduku telsa?" He said, and that's why I want to leave you with this thought. Why do you think I gave him my feet? Because he served me till the end. Because he served me. Service chesadu ante. Adi okkate chalu naaku. Adi okkate chalu. That one thing is enough. Serve. Serve, serve, serve. And you get Swami's feet. And so, my dear sisters and brothers, it doesn't matter how many births we have to take. Let us pray for that one thing, a chance to be an instrument of His peace, a chance to serve Swami. Let us be born as a grass, a blade of grass, and let us feed as a grass. Let us become the fodder and let the cows feed, nourish the Sai devotees who will serve Swami. If you have to be trees, then let us provide shade to the Sai devotees who will come and rest under our shade. It doesn't matter how we take the birth next time. Pullagi, Pudai, Puduai, Maramagi, Pal Virgomagi, Paravayai, Pambai, Peyai, Ganangalai, Manidarai, Devanai. Whatever the birth is, let us every birth look for an excuse to serve. Because the joy of service, the joy to have the capacity to love unconditionally, to serve unconditionally, is priceless. And to me, that is the greatest gift that Sai can give us. And therefore, that riddle that you solve brings Sai into your life. 19 becomes 20. Now take half of that, 10. Give it to whomever the eldest son. Take 1/5, 4 horses go somewhere else. Take 1/4, 5 out of 20 is 5. 10 plus 5 and 4 is 19. The mighty horse, the 20th horse stays. That is Sai. Bring Sai into your life. You will be able to do even the most impossible divisional, fractal divisions, if you will. You will be able to solve even the most problematic situations in life. Allow Him to run your life. Let Him be the charioteer like He was for Arjuna. Don't ask Him to fight your battles. Ask Him to just be there with you. Hold His hand. You will find the strength to live your life, to face the challenges. Sai Ram.
I hope you enjoyed that talk by Dr. Sundar Iyer. Saram to you all.
Shambho Mahadeva Mallikarjuna. Shambho Mahadeva. Shambho Mahadeva Mallikarjuna. Shambho Mahadeva. ಮಂಗಳ ಚರಣ ತ್ರಿಲೋಚನ ಮಂಗಳ ಚರಣ ತ್ರಿಲೋಚನ ವಿನಾಕ ಪಾಣಿ ಪಾರ್ವತಿ ರಮಣ ವಿನಾಕ ಪಾಣಿ ಪಾರ್ವತಿ ರಮಣ ಭವಭಯ ಹರಣ ಸನಾತನ ಪತಿತ ಪಾವನ ಪತಿ ಪುರೀಶ್ವರ ಪತಿತ ಪಾವನ ಶಂಭೋ ಮಹಾದೇವ ಮಲ್ಲಿಕಾರ್ಜುನ ಮಂಗಳ ಚರಣ ತ್ರಿಲೋಚನ ವಿನಾಕ ಪಾಣಿ ಪಾರ್ವತಿ ರಮಣ ಭವಭಯ ಹರಣ ಸನಾತನ ಪತಿತ ಪಾವನ ಪತಿ ಪುರೀಶ್ವರ ಪತಿತ ಪಾವನ ಶಂಭೋ ಮಹಾದೇವ ಮಲ್ಲಿಕಾರ್ಜುನ.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.